First of all, Herman Melville, one of my very favorite people, wrote one time that God's one and only voice is silence. And Blaise Pascal, a great scientist from an earlier century and a great philosopher, once observed that all of man's troubles stem from his inability to sit quietly in a room alone. That most of us are just not very good at that. That when we tell people to go to their room and be there by yourself, we think of that as the ultimate punishment. And in a prison, the worst place that you can go is to a place called solitary confinement. I think about a man who was released from prison in 1990. And I remember the day very, very well. I remember watching on television with great anticipation as Nelson Mandela was released from prison. And we had all heard stories about the possibilities in the late 80s of this man possibly being released and maybe not, but no one had seen a picture of him because no photos were allowed. And he had spent 27 years in isolation, 17 of them in a place called Robben Island, off the coast of Cape Town. And I remember the day that he walked out and I saw this dignified man walk out, and all of the world's anticipation had been on what was going to happen in South Africa as a result of the dismantling of apartheid, which is an idea whose time had finally come. And it was no longer going to be possible for them to have on the books, the law books, and a law that said that one group of people, because of their racial makeup, because of the color of their skin, was inferior to another group of people. It was the last place. I remember I was a host on a TV show. I filled in for a friend of mine. His name was Dennis Holy. And he had a show on PBS at night, every night, called Late Night America. And he asked me if I would substitute for him when he was on vacation one week, many years ago. And my very first guest was a man named Dick Gregory, who was a former comedian and a man who was a great hero to me because I thought I had done something really phenomenal by running a marathon. When I completed my first marathon, I told everybody I had run 26 miles and how great that was, and I was really feeling pretty strong in my late 30s to run 26 miles without stopping in around 3 hours. And then when I found out, when I was doing the review material to interview Dick Gregory, I discovered that he ran two marathons every day for 70-some consecutive days from Los Angeles to New York to protest the war in Vietnam. 52 miles a day he ran. So I stopped. I wasn't going to brag to him about my completing one marathon and then having to sit in a hot tub for a week. And at any rate, he was a wonderful man. He is a wonderful man. And a man of great conviction and who stood up and spoke about injustices at the Hungry Eye in San Francisco many years ago. I went there to see him. And he said something to me. He said that night on the TV show, he said, "You are going to be a very well-known spokesman for the ideas that you are writing about, much more well-known than you even anticipate right now." And he said, "There's one thing that you have to do." He said, "You have to go to South Africa. And you have to talk to the people in South Africa. And the reason you have to go there is because it's the only place left on the planet in which the laws are still in place, which make one group of people inferior to another. And once those laws have been removed and abolished, consciousness will take over. But as long as those laws are on the books, people will use them as a reason to continue this kind of thing called apartheid. And I was, I don't know what year that was, but it was in the late 70s, and I was sort of flattered, but I didn't really think too much about that. But it was always on my mind whenever I would read about South Africa. I could never shake that what Dick Gregory had said to me.